Hello?
Hi, Bob.
Yes, sir.
Goddamn, I always seem to bother you on a Sunday right at church.
Not at all.
You don't mind, yeah. All right. Look, we're just... I'm looking at him, David, and... just trying to be sure that the facts are all straight on a couple of things. The boys are sort of looking over the latest thing that, you know, the stuff lobbed out. There, incidentally, there, Bizarre's analysis is that...
Fine, too.
They think that what it is part of his public campaign to build immunity. They feel this is not the time to take him on personally because that will have the left, the libs all put their arms around him, you know, as a big hero.
I agree.
How's that sound? Yeah.
Great.
But on the other hand, they put out a sharp denial, of course. Of,
I think it was too sharp.
You do,
Yep. I think it's
overreacting.
It's overblown rhetoric, and it also doesn't fit with, and it sort of lends incredibility to the even-handed treatment of Dean. I think you got to have that run in the same story or the adjacent column to the story that he goes into his files and takes his notes out and all that. Makes it seem kind of absurd. But,
well, I
just think they ought to slow down a little. I don't think it's done any harm, but I
just can't keep it top of all of it, you know.
Oh, sure.
I didn't know they put it out, but I hope you just pass your judgment on to me on this thing, because I want to work through you on it, I think, because it's perfectly plausible, you know, that I have to work on transition things and so forth and so on.
Yeah.
But in any event, that was that. Let me just check, be sure on a couple of facts that in terms of the, and it may be that he'll, he may be misleading his lawyers a bit, but Dick Plindies, you know, told me, I remember I told you that when I told him that I'd only seen Dean once or twice, or, you know, during the period, actually, twice, as it turned out, Dick says, you can't tell me, he says, Dean told me he was practically in your office every day.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Yep.
Now, this says, apparently, this piece says that in January, February, March, April, he saw me 30 or 40 times. Well, the times are irrelevant. Maybe it's 18. But the point is, our files show, Bob, that the first time I saw him was February, not the 27th, but February 28th with Dick Moore. See?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that it was the 27th, but they went back and checked.
I think it is the 27th.
Well, it doesn't make any difference.
No.
We're not going to put any statement out, but the point is that it was the 27th or 28th, it was.
He says that he didn't see you at all before January.
No, but this is February the 28th.
I know, but he makes the point that he didn't see you at all until this year, and that then starting in this year, he saw you from January through
April,
saw you some 35 or 40 times.
Right.
Or had that many conversations with you.
Sure.
After you have the phone calls, that may not be too inaccurate.
Oh, sure. And as a matter of fact, we're not going to quarrel about that. I mean, we're not going to quarrel about number of times and that sort of thing. Don't you agree?
Yeah. Now, what you should know, and John's trying to, Ehrlichman's trying to get to...
Bizarre.
Ziegler. Now, Bizarre won't talk to us.
No, he's talking to your lawyers.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's only, I think he's right.
No, I'm not questioning that, but Ehrlichman was trying to get to Ziegler to tell him of an interview that he had with ABC this morning, at which he did a superb job of spelling out the nature of...
The fact that Ehrlichman had an interview with ABC?
Yeah.
Good. I didn't want to ask you to do it.
Well, I did too. But I didn't go into the detail that John did, and I think...
Why did they ask about this conversation, this Dean thing?
That's what they were there for. They were on my doorstep this morning. And,
I figured they were.
So what I said was that I have a consistent position I want to stay with, and it's helpful most of the time, although once in a while it gets in the way, what I said was that I will not comment on any specific story or any hearsay or any allegations that have come up. So I'm not going to comment on the story today. I will say, however, categorically, that the president had no part in any way, shape, or form in any cover-up of the Watergate affair.
And I
said, I also will say, as I have said, and I've said that before, and I'll also repeat what I've also said before, which is that I had no part in any way, shape, or form in any cover-up of the Watergate affair. Now, beyond that, I'm not going to comment on charges that are lobbed up day by day. I'm simply going to say that's the truth. and as the truth becomes known, that will be confirmed.
Good.
And I have full confidence that that will be the case, and I have no concern about any of these charges that are being logged out. He said, well, that in effect is denying these charges. And I said, let me emphasize, I am not responding to any individual charges. I'm telling you what the truth is.
Right, good.
And I left it at that. Now, John went substantially beyond that in quite a long interview and made the point that the Dean's communication with the President came about at John's, at Ehrlichman's and my suggestion that as this thing was spinning out, it would, the President ought to now talk directly with Dean because, you know, there appeared to be more there than was meeting the eye, and that the President did. And that the reason he did was to find out what was going on, find out the facts in the thing. And he builds a very plausible thing of and true, plausible because it's true.
Did he nail the date down or try to?
I think he probably did.
Yeah, it doesn't make a difference.
I think he did, and he...
Actually, you see, if I can interrupt a minute, you know, Bob, from February 28th until about the 14th when I had a press, you know, I had two press conferences there, believe me, we weren't talking about the goddamn Watergate state. We were talking about executive privilege and the Urban Committee and Pat Gray and New Zealand Liar and that sort of stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then we picked up the other stuff. Go ahead, John.
Well, he makes the point that as you got into this and got more facts, you pushed harder to get further and so on, and that you did have these sessions with Dean to try and get caught up, and then we could write to our cycle of sending him up to write the report and all that. But I think John's, I'm not characterizing it very well because he gave me a quick run, but I was very impressed with what John said he had covered with ABC, and I think that's something Ron might even want to get a transcript of it because ABC won't carry the whole thing, but maybe they could give him a tape of it.
Good. Ron, the reason he can't get it, he's in this meeting, you know, they're meeting down there right now. And
right.
They're all, you know, trying to...
Right.
And as a matter of fact, Bob, they aren't, nobody's... you know, getting panicky and so forth. This is not something we expect.
That's right.
And I think that part of the reason for their maybe going with it this week is that they were a little disturbed about what has happened the last 10 days or so. You know, they haven't been making too much headway.
That's right.
Or I don't know if you agree, but I think
that's absolutely right.
I think they began to see some problems, and they had to lob something else up there. So they're going very hard now with their star witness. Well, when I say they are, the press is.
Yeah, I agree with Bizarre's theory that this is not from the prosecutors. This is Dean's ploy. Because it fits a pattern. He does this every weekend.
Yeah.
He has a new escalator each weekend.
Must have some clever lawyer with him, don't you think? Oh, no, he's capable of it.
I'm told that this guy that he's got is very clever. And very unscrupulous.
But you are squizzy, unscrupulous, squizzy. You and John are doing exactly the right thing, and it's just thing that, you know, the thing that when we were up there in the library that night, and I was sort of depressed a bit, but God damn it, Bob, you and John and I are telling the truth.
That's the whole point.
We are telling the truth, and therefore, when people say do this or that, God damn it, we're telling the truth. I mean, now, there are things which are hard to explain, like that damn CIA thing, but it happens to be the truth. The 350 happens to be the truth. The conduct thing happens to be the truth.
The fact, too,
that neither you or John told me about either the 350 or the conduct thing, happens to be the truth, because at that time, people forget, goddammit, I was in the middle of a campaign, I was running the war, and doing a hell of a lot of other
things. There was no reason to tell you about it. It was not significant. It wasn't a big deal that we were involved in.
Well, as a matter of fact, John just, I think he approached it routinely, the Kalmbach thing, you know.
Yep.
And Kalmbach never spoke to me about, well, I didn't see him, so he would have no reason to. But that's that.
That's
incidentally, one other thing that I had that I think our files are wrong on. It says that, you know, we saw him on the 21st, and it says that then on the 22nd that I saw him again with you and at least part of them, and then you and Ehrlichman and Mitchell. My recollection was we didn't see Mitchell on the 22nd. You remember?
I think we did.
But was that the... I,
Oh, no, wait, the 22nd?
Remember the 21st and 22nd. The 22nd is the day I thought we went to Florida.
Wait just a second. Let me get a piece of paper in.
Yeah.
The 22nd was the day we went to Florida.
It was. I don't know when the hell I would have seen you.
But, no.
I thought you, and isn't that the day you and John and Dean met with Mitchell? Yes, you had to meet with him.
Yeah, but so did you.
Met with all of you?
Yep, in the Oval Office. We came over after you had us meet with him, and then you said you'd meet with us afterwards. And the original plan in that meeting was not for Dean to be there, but then he was there. And it was at that meeting that we talked about...
That's what I was wondering. What the hell did we talk about?
We talked
because
about
we'd already, by that time, we knew about the Dan Bittman thing, but I don't think we talked about it. I didn't talk about it, as I recall.
No.
We might have.
No, we didn't. That was undone by then, or, you know, it was...
You'd already had that... Dean had had the casual reference to Mitchell.
In the morning meeting.
I see one.
Or early afternoon, or whatever it was. We met with you at 2 o'clock. Or 1:45.
Right.
And we met with you for almost 2 hours. It was a fairly long meeting.
What the hell did we discuss?
Well, we talked about how to deal with the whole Irvin committee and the Watergate business, and whether, and then that was where we decided we ought to get a paper out by John Dean.
Oh, I see.
On
the Dean report.
Yeah, that's right.
Mitchell was there.
That's right. And then we also got into at that meeting the whole business of Pat Gray. That was the day that Pat Gray said Dean had lied.
Yeah.
And so that we got into that discussion. And you picked up the phone and called Kleindienst about something during that meeting.
Oh.
About that you wanted him to work. Oh, that you wanted him to work with the Irvin Committee.
Oh yes.
And you know that he was to, because we had had these feelers about who was gonna, you know, Howard Baker was saying his administrative assistant who would work with
yeah, that's right.
Stuff.
Yeah, now it comes back.
So we covered a whole lot of stuff at that meeting.
Yeah.
But it was all
the thing that everybody
trying to get the goddamn report done.
The thing about all of this is that it was an attempt on our part to get the facts.
Well, there's no question.
And except for Dean's, where he only incidentally it wasn't a confessional at all, but you know, except for the March 21st thing where he mentioned his fear about the Bittman thing.
Mm-hmm.
He never, he'd lob out, well, Krug's got a problem, and I think the 350 thing, I think the March 21st is the first time he ever mentioned the 350.
I think that's right. He mentioned that problem, and he mentioned Ehrlichman's, you know, plumber problem.
Did he mention it then or
I
later?
Think so.
I'm not sure. Well, he might have or might not have done it. But nevertheless, the whole fact of the matter is he didn't mention the problems he had, you know, that he is the one that offered the clemency, that he was the one that had supported the perjury of Magruder. You know, those were the things, you know.
Right.
Those things, even then, you remember that our committee didn't raise all those. Well, anyway.
He sure didn't.
In fact, he never did. Never told me those things. Never did, even on April 6th, 15th, he didn't. And I don't think he told the U.S. Attorney those things either.
Well, what I'd like to do, and, I've got to find a place to do it. I've got to get into my notes again and figure out a way of doing that.
And memorize them, I know.
I guess so. But what I want to do now is write a chronology, which I can do.
I wish you would.
Of what you did and what I did and what Dean did.
Right.
And your story, you see, holds up awfully well of Dean. You're coming into an intensive period of trying to get this stuff worked out with Dean, and then finding that it didn't work, and then cutting him off, and then turning Ehrlichman loose on
him. When did I turn Ehrlichman loose?
March 30th.
March
30th. Yep.
Right after we arrived in California.
Yep. It was en route to California. It was on the plane that he gave you that.
Why did they turn him loose? I don't recall why I did it.
I think mainly because we weren't getting the Dean thing. See, that was Dean had just been up at Camp David and then come back down. And we weren't getting any answers. And you weren't finding out that we were still, the thing was still wallowing around in conflicting stuff and not knowing what the story was.
Right. So that wasn't the way to the California. And I said, now, John, you take over.
Yeah, you may have said it before we went. And then he had, remember he wrote up a note for you to sign to him that would hold you. give him attorney-client privilege.
Oh, yeah.
Because at that point, we were worried about, you know, if he got into investigating, that he'd be...
Yeah, I signed a note to him, didn't I? Yeah.
And you signed some note saying, I direct you to take over this investigation. And you dated it by hand, he says, and I think the date was March 30th.
You could do that chronology, be very helpful. Let me tell you something. The reason I don't want to do one by myself, I don't want to write a memorandum out because...
Good Lord, no.
Don't you agree?
Yes, sir.
I mean, for example, I don't want to say that I did not... That I was not aware of the 350 until such and such. I wasn't aware. You know, the things like that.
Let me do it.
If you wouldn't mind, you know, because you remember, before we got our statement, I called you and we nailed down everything.
Well, that's the plus of your having eliminated executive privilege.
Yeah.
Is that I can go now through these things and I've got to figure out how to do it. I think I want to do it publicly.
Well, that's the other thing. Me and our enemies are playing all of their stuff publicly, John. I mean, Bob, and playing it publicly. I'm inclined to think it's almost time for us to start playing it publicly.
Well, I think it may be.
You know, and
I can do it. I can do it on a... there are two ways. One is we could... I can go back on my deposition, but that isn't going to get run. I think the way to do it probably is to go to Bob Woodward at the Washington Post.
Yep.
And just say, Bob, I'll give you an interview if you'll print the whole thing. And I'll tell you the story.
Yeah, at the present time, as you are well aware, Bob, they're really not after you or John. We've always...
Oh, hell no.
They're after the president.
There's no question about that.
And they're not after John Mitchell, the poor fellow. I mean...
Well, and that's who they ought to be after, of course, and that's... They ignore him.
That is the... Isn't it interesting? They totally...
Well, the reason they ignore him is because they know he's got, and they know that getting him isn't going to get you. And they don't... What they're concerned about letting it lie at John Mitchell.
They're afraid it'll stop there.
Which is where it does stop.
Well, it's...
With Mitchell and John Dean.
Well, it stops with Mitchell, Magruder, and Dean.
See, the interesting point that I've got to get to somebody at some point, publicly, and I'll do it as soon as I get a question that leads it to me, I'll do it on television, is that they keep saying all this cover-up thing, they keep overlooking the fact that to this day, there is no allegation by anybody in this case that anybody at the White House was involved in the planning or execution of the Watergate break-in, with the remote possibility of Dean, a remote possible exception of Dean. But beyond Dean, nobody has alleged that anybody at the White House, in other words, the Dean report that they get so upset about in August is still, even though Ron says it's inoperative, it's not inoperative. It's still operative. It's still, that is the fact as we know it today.
That's correct.
And that seems to get overlooked, and that's what gets overlooked is the McClellan Committee, where they started lobbying into, well, Ehrlichman and I must have done the Watergate, therefore we wanted to cover it up.
Yeah.
You've got to go back to a motivation thing here. We didn't have anything to cover up.
That's correct. Not a goddamn thing.
Now, John Dean may have or may not have. I don't know.
That's right.
Because I still don't know. From all he's ever told me, he didn't have.
Yeah, he says he didn't know they were going to go forward with it. That was his lie, you know, throughout.
That's right.
You know, and drawing the wagons up around the White House?
That's right.
When did he say that?
On the 22nd.
Is that what he said then?
Or the 22nd? No, the 21st.
Yeah.
The afternoon of the 21st.
Oh, he said draw the wagons up. That was even after the conversation we had.
Yep.
Oh, he met later with you and John.
And you. We met over at the EOB that afternoon for 40 minutes.
Later, I see.
At 5:30.
I see.
And it was after that meeting. Now, I've got notes on all that.
And he went over and said...
And that's when he pulled the wagons around the White House line.
Yeah.
Because he said, if we do that, nobody will think. We're all okay. Now, it turns out that was a self-serving thing because he was trying to hang himself onto us, knowing that we were clear and bring himself in. Now, he may still be clear. I don't know.
Well, he's not clear on when his real Achilles heel is on the meeting with Mitchell and Magruder, where Magruder will, I'm sure, testify that he was told to perjure himself. See, on that one, I think he's just a dead goner.
Yeah.
That's something that...
He did meet with you on the 27th.
27th?
Of February.
Oh, well, that's fine.
That was his first meeting. It was that afternoon.
That was his Moore, then. That was his Moore.
Nope. Moore wasn't in that one. Moore came a little later. You met with him for a half an hour on the 27th at 4 o'clock and for an hour on the morning of the 28th.
With Moore? So Moore was there sometime.
Neither of those was with Moore. Then you met with him quite a few times on the 1st. You know, about half an hour in the morning.
That was
and then
before my press conference.
Another 10 minutes. And then another 10 minutes.
Right. See, I was preparing for the 2nd.
That's right. That's exactly right. And then you had the press conference on the 2nd.
Right.
And then you didn't meet with Dean that day at all.
Yeah.
Or the following day or that weekend at all. But then you got into March. You met with him for a couple minutes on the 6th in the morning. And again on the 7th for a half an hour in the morning. These are just quick, I mean, you know, they're not so long.
Sort of checking on what's going on here.
Then I don't see where the Moore thing started. The Moore meeting started on the 14th.
Oh, 14th. Oh, that's when I was preparing for the press conference. And he came in after the press conference. He and Moore together came in after the press conference. I think that was it. Well, anyways, you can see I can't try to get my recollection of Bob and his God.
You should. Let me go back to it, but let me just stay with the facts, you know. That's
right.
So we don't get caught up on something that's wrong, but I'm going to try and do a thing.
And you think an interview in the paper is better than something on TV?
I can do both, and I think I do in the sense that I think we need a public record on it.
Yeah.
And
basically, let's face it, you're not going to get a decent public record out of the Irvin Committee.
Oh, no.
You're never going to get a decent public record, of course, out of the grand jury, because that's nothing. I mean, that'll be months before it
happens. The other place I can is in my deposition for the Democratic National Committee.
Yeah.
Because that does become public, and I've already done that, but you see, our lawyers have taken the position that anything relating to events after June 17th is irrelevant.
Yeah.
Because their suit is for damages as a result of the break-in.
Yeah, yeah.
If we could drop that irrelevance, then I could give all this in my deposition. I could get a second, or I've already had 3 rounds, I could get a 4th round on my deposition.
Right.
And get that in, and they make that public. But you can't be sure what they'll print of that. Or if I go to the Post directly, or the Times, like or Newsweek, or any, you know, I can take anybody I want.
You think Woodward is better than the Times?
Well, he knows more about it. The Times might be more fair.
That's the point. The Post is so biased on this thing.
Yeah, they are.
You wonder how they'd handle it, Bob. I mean, they could take this. They could ignore all of your defenses of, you know, we didn't know and so forth and so on.
Well, I wouldn't do it, except on a deal, and they've offered this. And, of course, AP has, too. I could do it with AP, for that matter. But nobody printed. See, if you do it with the Post, you know it's printed.
Sure.
I can do it with somebody, though. The deal that a number of them have offered is that they will carry the entire thing. Of any length, anything I want to say.
Yeah, but incidentally, you're very well advised, though. Don't make it too long.
That's right.
Categorical imperatives. I mean, this is the thing here.
Yep. Well, especially on TV. I'm convinced of that.
Oh, the TV, yeah, you murdered him.
Like this thing I did with him this morning. They'll carry, if they carry any of mine, they'll have to carry all of it.
Incidentally, John did a hell of a job last week, too. I mean, as I said, when I raised the Cushman thing, I was only raising because I was so pissed off at Cushman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, Cushman and Walters both are sort of reverting to type on the military rather than the public interest.
Well, frankly, they know better. They're sort of protecting their own ass and letting anybody else be hurt, aren't they?
Yep.
No, I shall not forget.
But in the process, they're not really protecting their own ass either.
No, they look bad, don't they? So it was on the 22nd, then, that we drove in to write the damn report, was
yep.
it right?
And on the 22nd, we left for Key Biscayne, and he went up to Camp David. And then I had those in... And you spent that whole weekend at Key Biscayne really probing into, you know, you kept...
Yeah.
New questions kept coming to your mind, and you... That was that weekend where I was over at your house that one day for six hours calling people.
Were you?
Yeah.
What kind of people were you calling?
Jeez, everybody. Colson, Rogers, Mitchell, Dean, Moore. And it was...
What were you calling them about?
Partly factual, to get specifics, like the Colson phone call. Remember, Dean had told us about the Colson phone call to Magruder. He was trying to tie Colson in. So I called Colson to check that out. And we were talking to Rogers about whether we should... there was the debate then of whether to offer everybody to the grand jury or whether to...
Oh, yeah.
You know, what to do. And that was the weekend McCord came out with his letter to the judge.
Yeah.
And it was a big weekend of revelation.
Really?
Not really revelation, but of new insights. And those created questions that were asked. And you had a lot of notes of questions that had occurred to you, and you were grinding away on them.
Hmm.
And I'd go out, remember, I'd go into the living room and make calls, and then come back and report to you, and you'd have a whole new batch of stuff.
And
then I'd go back out to the room, make another call or another batch of calls, and come back and give you another rundown on that.
That's when all the rumors are flying around.
That's right. Who's and that's what I'd like to get out. I'd like to point out what was flying at that point.
That I was trying to get the facts.
And that through it all, they were all contradictory. And they still are. And this baloney about why don't you tell the people the truth is ridiculous. You don't know it.
Yeah.
And you still don't. At least I don't know. If you do, you have it by divine revelation, not by any concrete evidence.
I've got suspicions.
Well, sure, you've got suspicions. So do I. But are you or I or anybody else entitled to announce our suspicions?
I'm not going to condemn anybody about suspicions. I'm not going to announce any of the press.
That's right.
And all that sort of thing.
I mean, what could be more irresponsible than for the President of the United States to say, I suspect that this is what happened?
Well, anyway, Sam, I'll be talking to Rigger at 2 o'clock when they break this meeting. I'll tell him to give
Tell him to call John on the ABC interview.
I will, and I'll tell him to call you, too.
All right.
Good.
No need to call me on...
Well, I mean, the only thing I could suggest is you could do this chronology for me, John. Bob, I would appreciate it, because I don't want to do it.
Right. Well, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go in tomorrow morning and work in the files tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
On an in-and-out basis, I'm going to have to memorize and go out and write and go back in.
Mm-hmm.
But I can do that. And,
It's interesting, apparently, in this story, the source says that Dean does not have any documentary evidence. But I wonder why he says that. He doesn't have, of course.
Well, they probably asked him, it's interesting, though. Did you see they lobbed out that he had tape recordings?
No.
That's buried in one of the stories that one of his sources lobbed out that everybody was making tape recordings of phone calls, and that Dean did, too. I don't think that's true.
Let me say this. The tape recordings that he had, I mean, I don't believe that he didn't have any at Camp David, Bob. When you called him here, when I called him at Camp David, you know, he was, you know what I mean? I don't know how the hell he could tape record Camp David, do you?
No, he never, well, yeah, you can easily. I've got a little thing you just plug onto the phone and stick it on your tape recorder and it records the conversation.
With a little salt, so be it.
Suction cup on the telephone.
So he doesn't do it. So he doesn't. What the hell's the difference, huh?
That doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
They hurt him worse than anybody.
Yeah.
At least his conversations with me do.
Yeah.
And he didn't have very many with you, I don't think.
On the phone?
Any phone conversations?
Well,
he must have had some.
I must have called him on, I probably called him while we were in Florida, don't you imagine?
He's claiming at that Easter phone call. He makes the claim that you said in that phone call that you were just kidding about that we could raise the $1 million if it was needed.
Yeah. And we never even discussed it.
He may have a recording of that has something, that they're trying to make something out of that. But we can set that one to rest on the basis of investigations. I mean, hell, at that point, you were trying to find out, in the first place, if there was the question.
Now, let me tell you that in the Easter call, I remember that very well. That was a very brief call, and we didn't discuss any damn, anything of that sort at all.
Okay.
He talked about his, wanted it, said he, how he was going to plead, and all that sort of thing. And wanted to see me, I said, and of course we couldn't do that.
Yeah.
But is he, but on the $1 million, is that the first time he's raised that, or has he raised it previously?
This weekend story is the first time it's come up.
Yeah, and what does it say in effect?
It says that you asked at some point, I think he puts it at the March 21st meeting, that you asked how much money would be needed beyond the $465,000 that had already been paid. To defendants, and that he had said $1 million, and you had said, well, we can raise that.
I did.
But that isn't the point.
No, that's right. The whole point is I did, but we... Bob, you remember when you were in the conversation, we said there were 3 points that were made. I said, first, you could raise $1 million, but then you'd have a problem of clemency. We can't give clemency, you know. And then I also, as you recall, I at one point, thank God, said it's wrong. Isn't that correct?
Yep. That is correct.
Because the whole purpose of that...
If you were drawing Dean out at that point, that's what's got to be made.
The whole purpose of that conversation was to show how insane or foolish this whole business of trying
to
pay off the people who do it.
That's right.
I mean, the clemency thing, for example, you know. Actually, I made one unfortunate statement, Marshall, where you couldn't even consider clemency the way I put it, as I recall, until after the 74 elections. I don't know what your recollection is on it, but I was really meaning to say that you couldn't. I mean,
I don't recall that, but that's perfectly possible.
You just couldn't consider clemency at this time. That's really the whole point, and that therefore the whole business of paying the defendants is.
In any event, that was in March 21st. No, all the offers of clemency and all that stuff were in January, according to McCord and those people have testified. So what difference does it make what was discussed in March? I think what happened is Dean or somebody offered clemency way back early and was trying to get it ratified.
Yep.
In March.
Well, we didn't ratify
it. It was in the soup.
We didn't ratify it. I never ratified it.
Nope.
You were there when you talked about it.
That's right.
You couldn't even consider it. And I think that's what you would naturally say.
Yep. That's right.
But I'm glad that he's lobbed up the $1 million thing, because that was, as I know, I've been concerned about that conversation, mainly because we were talking to a trusted confidant, and basically because, what the hell, why would I ask the question about how much would it take, but we could get $1 million? Well, we could get $1 million. So what in the hell does that mean? That we're going to do it, you know, that sort of thing?
At that point, you were making the point that it isn't a question of money, it's a question of what was being done, first of all, whether it was right or wrong. And there was still a question, at least in my mind at that point, of whether we were talking about money for lawyers' fees and support, or whether it was a hush-up money. There was only a semi-factor of blackmail or hush-up involved in it.
Except in the Bittman thing.
That's right. And that was not related to Watergate.
True.
So.
Well, that's interesting. He says in the Easter call that I mentioned $1 million. We didn't discuss it.
No, he says that your point of being able to raise the money, that you were just kidding. Something like that.
When again, Easter, when I talked to him then?
Mm-hmm.
Hell no, we didn't discuss that. I know that. I know what I said on that occasion.
Okay. Well, whether it was or not,
that's something you have to remember. But we cannot. The kind of a game they're playing, we're just going to have to knock them right out of the box, but at the right time.
Yep. But we can lay our groundwork now.
Right.
Our factual base.
Right. I'll have them call you around 2:00.
Okay.